of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. Let us give careful attention to the reading of God's word, especially because it's short. Don't lose attention on one sentence, friends. Let us hear God's word for us today. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Please be seated. So good to see all of you. This is the highlight of my week, being in church with God's people. And I do hope you will come back tonight, as the Moody Chorale will be here, 5 o'clock. And that is the choir that I spent my college years in and had a blast singing all over Great Britain and Israel and the West Coast and Florida and the Midwest and just all over. It was just a great time of ministry and fun. I think the police were only called a couple times, but we had a great time together serving in that way. And now, friends, we come to this last portion of our mission statement that is undergirded by this text from Mark chapter 16. We are seeking to be a gospel community, joyfully loving God and others by gracious means, generous mercy, and global mission. And we are looking at Mark 16:15 and some other scriptures today as we meditate on what it means to be a gospel community, joyfully loving God and others by global mission. What does that mean for us? And we will be looking at that in 4 points, and they all start with the letter P, for those of you who like to plan ahead, okay? But first, we want to see the promises of the gospel, because the global mission we are on, as we see in Mark 16, is to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, or as the King James would say, every creature. What is the gospel? We know that the gospel is that good news that Jesus Christ has come and dealt with our sin problem. He has lived a perfectly righteous life. He has died the penalty, died the death that was the penalty for our sin. And when we are in Christ, all of that is dealt with. It is done. That is the good news. And the good news even goes on, because not only are we just saved and it's some type of fire insurance, we avoid the fires of hell, that's great and wonderful, but in this life, on this earth, we actually begin to be changed. That is part of the redemption purchased for us by Christ. Not only our justification, our right standing with God, not only our adoption, our welcoming into the family of God, but also our sanctification. And someday, praise be to God, our glorification as we stand face to face with our risen Savior. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the message of this church. That is what we desire to proclaim. And with that gospel, there comes certain promises in the gospel. We read one in Habakkuk 2. "Woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city on iniquity. Behold, is it not from the Lord of hosts that peoples labor merely for fire and nations weary themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Friends, I've never been on a cruise. I know some of you have. But I can guarantee you that there are no charts in the cockpit of that ship that tell the ship where it cannot go because there's no water there in the sea. You got to watch that hole that's out there. Water goes everywhere. There is water covering this globe. And friends, the gospel is working its way out. And if you watch too much news and you listen to too much radio, you're going to be tempted toward depression, because right now in our country and in our state, as great and beautiful as our state is, you might tend to think, boy, the gospel's losing. It ain't losing. It might be struggling a bit in this part of the world right now, but trust me, God is doing some great and mighty things all over the globe, even here. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We read and pray and sing in Psalm 22, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. And that is forecasting us into the heavenly places, where gathered before the throne of Christ will be every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and nation. As the gospel goes forth, redeeming and saving and sanctifying culture after culture, tribe after tribe, village after village. And sometimes through great labor and endeavor and seeming hopelessness, but the gospel marches forward. Remember, all we get to see is one little time and place. We can't see the whole picture. Our family has dear friends in Indiana, and she grew up as a missionary kid in Africa. And her father labored among the same few little villages for his 40-year missionary career and saw very few converts. And they retired back to the United States thinking they had maybe been a failure. But what he was not aware of was almost as soon as his foot left the continent, the gospel took root in those villages like they had never seen before. And for year upon year upon year, they would no sooner get a church building built in a village before they would be having to build another one, because the church was growing at such a rapid pace. And praise God, a number of years after he retired, his kids were able to fly him back to Africa to see what God had done through his meager ministry. A similar story comes out of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. In my office, I have a cherished possession, and it is a letter from the mission team to China back in the 1940s, written to the Foreign Mission Board of the RPCNA, and it is a nearly depressing letter. The communists are coming in, the missionaries are being forced out, and the letter, if I can paraphrase, says, well, we translated some books, we trained some leaders, but now we need to leave, and we don't know if we did anything of any good. Fast forward to just after the year 2000, and a message comes from mainland China to the RPCNA, from a group of Christians saying, would like to make contact with you because we think we're Reformed Presbyterians. And the RP Church is a very humble denomination, around 100 congregations, just a few thousand members, and the Chinese church in four or five congregations had about 20,000 members. Friends, we only see a little snippet in a little time, in a little place, in a little season. Very rarely do we get to drink in the glorious scene of what God has done through the seeds that have been planted through our ministry. But the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. And all ends of earth will turn to him because he is the king over the nations. And friends, these promises are the basis for what we do. That God has promised, as his word is preached, people will turn in faith to Christ. This is the promise. And these promises encourage your pastors and your elders, and I hope they encourage you in the sense that there are guaranteed results. We must serve faithfully, knowing that he does the work. So there are promises involved in the gospel. There's a prescription of the gospel. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. We are to be going. We are to be going into all the world. Mark goes on, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Now, Pastor Joel's not standing in the pulpit today saying that's going to start happening here. That was the apostolic era as the gospel was breaking forth into new cultures. The word of God had not been solidified, had not been canonized yet. And so we didn't have the fullness of God's word. And so the Spirit went with the apostles to confirm that word. But if you turn to Galatians chapter 5, you will find the ministry that we are called to in this era of ministry. Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to start in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Do we leave anything out? That is the litany of sins. You'd be hard-pressed to find an actionable sin that isn't somehow connected to that list. That's the world in which we live. I warn you, he says, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Listen, friends, as fun as it would be for me to stand up here and lengthen legs and heal gallbladders and all of those types of things, what's even more amazing is that as we as a church proclaim the gospel and participate in God's global mission, sinful, hardened hearts are changed. That's the bigger miracle. That people who hate heaven and love hell are converted into gospel-loving people, Jesus-worshiping people. That is the miracle that accompanies us as we preach the gospel. So don't look at Mark 16 all forlorn, wishing that God would do something really cool where we preach the gospel. He does. You know how I know he does? Because you're here. I'm here. And when we realize just how rebellious we were, when we come to understand how much we hated God, we know, we see what a great miracle accompanies the gospel as we have been changed. In Acts 1, we read, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. But you will, and in verse 8, we're reminded, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So what are the commands that God gives his disciples? The big one was go, disciple the nations. But wait in Jerusalem first, and the Holy Spirit's going to come, and you will be my witnesses, close to home, a little farther out, and then all over the world. You will be my witnesses. And so, friends, the prescription of the gospel is not only that the gospel should be taken, but where it should be taken. It should be taken to the end of the earth. And so thirdly, there's a sense of preparation in our mission, in the gospel. In the Great Commission, as we read it in Mark 16, or as we read it in Matthew 28, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. The command is actually make disciples. That's the command. The going is built so that it's a presumption. As you go, going, make disciples. And so our preparation is, are we prepared to go? And God might not be calling you to the farthest corner of the earth, but he might be calling you to that last cubicle at work. He might be calling you to that second bedroom in your home where your young person is struggling with all the pressures and frustrations of this life. Are you prepared to give them the gospel? First Peter 3, we're told, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. And friends, I would submit to you that you need to exhibit your hope. If we walk around just as panicked as everybody else, but it's a Christian panic. From the Christian radio station, from the Christian news. Who gives a rip? Nobody's gonna ask you why you're so hopeful, because you're just as panicked and depressed and frustrated and overcome as everybody else. Are you prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies in you? We must be prepared to share the faith, to preach the gospel. Connor and I have prepared for our task in the church. The church requires that we do so. Are you prepared to fulfill your task in the church, your part of the global mission? Are you prepared to tell your friends, your enemies, your coworkers, your family about the hope that lies within you? So then fourthly, we find our priorities. We find our priorities. It's been an honor to sit with the session as we have reminded ourselves we are anchored in the gospel. This last Wednesday night's session meeting, the session unanimously adopted a five-year vision, the emphasis of which is outreach. And those details will be coming to you soon, Lord willing, at the first Sunday lunch of June. And I think you're going to love it. I think you're going to be excited. But we remind ourselves as your pastors and elders that while we are called to labor and we are called to do, that the emphasis is on what Christ does in our midst. We are seeking to be vessels of ministry. As the old song says, channels only. That's the position we want to take. And yet we see all that we are called to as a church because we have been redeemed. Our priority is to get the gospel out, to minister in Jesus' name, either the preached word or a cup of cold water, but we will be clear that it's in Jesus' name that we are doing it. And we are called then to make our way out from our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria to the ends of the earth. We simply want to play whatever part we can play to see the gospel preached in every nook and cranny between here and everywhere. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to participate in. That is our global mission, is every inch of the earth from here to the farthest corners. And we desire to lead you well in that gospel mission, for it is one of the ways by which we show great love to our God as we multiply the number of worshipers who are praising his name and how we love others. For what better news could we give to another human being than Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again? We can't do everything, and we know that, but we can do what we are equipped and available to do. And so more mission means more mercy. It means more people experiencing the means of grace. More mission means more people joyfully loving God and others. More people learning to live thankful, obedient lives to the one who has saved them. And so our priority is people. That's our priority. If our priority becomes anything else, then connecting people to the glory of God, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we simply turn into a hospice ministry for a beautiful building. And it becomes about keeping the building nice rather than making souls come alive as they are engaged with the gospel and the Spirit of Christ comes upon them and saves them and redeems them. The heart of our global mission is God's gracious means and generous mercy. All of these things interweave together as we are a gospel community, joyfully loving God and others, laboring to build more gospel community so that more might joyfully love God and others. So friends, we have been given the gospel. And with that gospel has come promises that the gospel will grow. And so I would ask you what, My wife once asked me before she was my wife, "Are you in or out?" And I said with confidence, "In?" And maybe that's where you are right now. Joel, I'm not sure I have anything that I can bring to the table. I'm not sure what part I would even play in this global mission of God. But friend, if you have been redeemed, Christ has given you a place at the table. And he has given you a gift to be used for his kingdom. And so we believe the promises that accompany the gospel, that the gospel is growing and it will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. Are you in or are you out? We've been given a prescription. We have been commanded to go do this. If nothing else, we should do it because God has told us to do it. Christ has commanded us to do it. And so we've been given this prescription. Are we in or are we out? And we're laboring each week as we preach, as we counsel, as we care. All that we do here is to prepare you to know and love the gospel and ultimately be able to share that gospel with others. Will you do that? Will you participate in that? Will you prioritize the souls of people? And don't hear me that that's our ultimate priority. Our ultimate priority here is the gospel. But because our priority is the gospel, our priority is also people. Because the gospel can't save angels. The gospel can't save real estate. The gospel saves souls. And so our mission drives us into the lives of people. People who need the Savior, who need his grace, who need his mercy, who need his peace, who are living like that first list Paul gives us in Galatians, and don't even think the second list is possible. To love and be joyful and peaceful and kind and gentle, all those things. So friends, we are a gospel community, joyfully loving God and others. That is who we are, and we fulfill that existence, that identity, by gracious means, the preaching of the word, the reading of the word, the administration of the sacraments here in this place week by week. We fulfill being a gospel community, joyfully loving God and others by generous mercy, caring for those who cannot care for themselves, loving the unlovely, bolstering and strengthening the weak and frail. And we are a gospel community, joyfully loving God and others by global mission, not resting until the gospel has covered the earth as the water covers the seas, in as much as God sees fit to use us to those ends as long as we live. New Life, are we in or are we out? You might say with confidence, in, but trust me, that can work out fine too. Friends, let us be on mission for our God, being who he has called us to be and doing what he has called us to do. Stand with me as we pray. Father, what confident hope we have, because your word is true. Every one of your promises made is a promise kept. And we look forward with great anticipation to that day when we will be gathered around the throne of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we will glance around to see one from every tribe and tongue and nation bowed before him, worshiping him. Use us, O God, to fulfill your mission in this place. Use us to preach the word, to administer the means of grace, to be generous in your mercy to those who cannot help themselves, and to march forward with the clear global mission of the good news of Jesus Christ. As we serve you and worship you and love you as a gospel community, joyfully loving you and others, help us, fill us, strengthen us, use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.